Last week we were thinking about that question, weren't we? Of how do you do life well? Do you remember that question? Remember that question, how do we do life well? We were thinking about that, weren't we? If you weren't here, then go and listen to it on the website. Not now, wait till the end of the service, but then listen to it on the website and see what it was about last week. Because that's the question we've been asking. How do you do life well? And we saw last week that the thing you need if you're going to do life well is wisdom. We've seen that God has given us this whole book of Proverbs in order to teach us wisdom. Proverbs, most of the book, is a collection of little wise sayings. You know, little pithy statements. They're things that summarize a particular feature of the world as it is. And these sayings cover a huge amount of topics. Now, if you ever sat down to try to read Proverbs, you'll know that, won't you? Because actually, it's not like reading a story where you can kind of, you know, skip through it nice and quickly and get the idea of the story. With Proverbs, it's not like that. You have to read one and then think it over and then read the next and then think it over and so on. And you see, we've got to stop and think if we're going to learn from it and put it into practice. It's not like reading laws. You know, laws are things which say, well, you must do this or you must never do that. You know, laws are fixed in a wide range of situations. They're fixed. Well, Proverbs aren't quite like that. Proverbs, if we're going to understand Proverbs, we need to think about how they're going to apply to us. Wisdom says things to us like, well, you know, if you're in this situation, you might find that there's two options available to you. Here's one option, but look where that leads. Better to take this path instead. Do you see what I mean? It's that sort of thing. We need to think about our situation, where we are, if we're going to understand how that proverb's going to apply to us. And as we take time over it and think about it and chew it over, as we do that, asking God for wisdom, because remember it comes from Him, well, that's how God will use this book to teach us wisdom. So, what we're going to do is we're going to go through this book of Proverbs in a series of topics. Here's today, work. Work. And if you read that Proverbs sheet, you will see what Proverbs has to say about work. Here's just a scattering of the Proverbs on the subject. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. A sluggard does not plough in season, so at harvest time he looks, but finds nothing. The sluggard's craving will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to work. All day long he craves for more, but the righteous give without sparing. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Some words of wisdom. Why don't we pray? Father, we pray that as we reflect on these words of wisdom from you, that you would use them by your Spirit to grant us true wisdom, that wisdom which knows what to do, that wisdom which results in action. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Work, work, work. You know, we moan about it, don't we? We enjoy it. We worry when we have it. We worry about not having it. We're glad when it's over. It's what gets us out of bed on a Monday morning, although sometimes we wish it wouldn't. That's work, isn't it? You know, say what you like about it, you can't avoid it. It's what we spend so much of our time doing. It's what fills so much of our time. It might be professional work, it might be paid work, or it might be voluntary work, it might be unpaid. It might be in the office, or it might be in the factory, or in the shop, or outdoors, or at home. But for many of us, the thing that seems in common is that for many of us, work seems a million miles away from what we're doing now. You know, sitting here on a church, in a church in Sunday, talking about God. But remember that saying last week, that line, that the book of Proverbs puts godliness in working clothes. Do you remember that? Proverbs is all about the nitty-gritty. It's about the day-to-day. Proverbs is all about how to live a wise, effective, godly life in the middle of the daily grind. So, let's have a think about what these Proverbs have to say. Let's see what lessons we might learn from those ones we've just read. First one's this. Be diligent at work. Don't be lazy. Be diligent at work, don't be lazy. That's the general principle that Proverbs wants us to grasp. It's there in the first proverb on the sheet, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 4. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Work, you see, work is a gift from God. Work is an essential part of who we are as human beings. You know, back at the start of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we see that as soon as God made the first man, he commanded him to work. You know, to go out into his creation, into God's creation, and do things with it. And crucially, work is intended by God to be the basic way that we acquire the things that we need for daily living. We work so that we can have the food and the housing and the clothing and things like that that we need. We will not prosper in this world without work. That's what work is there for. So the key word which Proverbs gives us is diligence, isn't it? Did you see that a few times? That word diligent or diligence comes up a lot. Diligence is what we need at work. Diligence means to apply ourselves with perseverance and care. To work diligently is to work patiently and with a proper attention to detail. A diligent worker is someone who doesn't just do the bare minimum that they need to do in order to get by. They want to do a good job. It's work like that, says Proverbs, and you'll see that it's for your good. Now, as we hear that, you may well, inwardly at least, be breathing a deep sigh. Oh, you know, I was hoping for a bit easier, something a bit, you know, a shortcut to success from God's word. I was hoping for that. We know that work is hard. It's tiring. We know that, don't we? I mean, in Genesis, again, in the Bible's realistic about this. In Genesis, again, we're told one of the first things to get mucked up by the effects of human sin is work. You know, because we humans have rebelled against God, work is now very often not the enjoyable activity which God originally intended. All too often, it's very hard. It's very difficult. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food, God says to Adam in the book of Genesis. It's going to be hard, but still what God wants for us. It's still what God wants for us. You see, our 21st century British society is one that loves shortcuts to success, doesn't it? You know, we want to get all the benefits of work without actually having to work for it, without actually having to do the work. We want to get rich without effort. That's why Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Deal or No Deal and Injury Claims for You and everything like that are scattered all over our screens all over the time, aren't they? You know, so those game shows, they are the classic example, aren't they, of how to get rich quick without effort. All you have to do is put up with Chris Tarrant for an hour or Noel Edmonds for half an hour or something like that. And if you can do that, then the rewards are enormous. It's how to get rich quick. You know, and the lottery and any sort of gambling, that's all the same sort of idea, isn't it? It's built on the same idea. It's wanting to get the rewards of work without doing the work. I don't know about you, but when I was at school, I always wanted to be one of those bluffers. You know the bluffers at school? They're the ones, they never seem to do any work, they never seem to do any revision or anything like that, but they get by, don't they? You know, the exams come and they sail straight through. Oh, it looks great, doesn't it? You don't want to get the benefits of work without actually doing the work. Proverbs pours cold water on those sort of ambitions. So listen to these Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. He who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. Proverbs says that if you're chasing the fantasy of getting all that you need without working for it, then know that it is just a fantasy. It's not the wise way to go about things, because that's just not how the world generally works. You know, for almost everybody who plays it, the lottery's a waste of money, isn't it? You know, a tiny few win big. Everyone else pays so that others can win. Sarah was telling me, she met up with a friend of hers, and this friend was telling her about an event that she went to, which was put on by one of this friend's old school friends, who now happens to be the owner of one of the biggest online gambling sites. And the party was put on the top floor of a top London hotel overlooking the Thames. An amazing view. And the champagne flowed freely. And if you ever want a demonstration that gambling doesn't pay for those who gamble, well, it pays all right, but it doesn't pay for those who do it. You see, bluffing can only get you so far, can't it? You know, I used to try that bluffing thing at school. I was reasonably bright, so I did all right for a while, but it wasn't that long before I got found out. Diligence is the way of wisdom. Now, in order to help us grasp that point, Proverbs paints us this caricature, this sort of comedy cartoon character, this lazy person. He's called the sluggard. And we're supposed to look at the sluggard and learn and ask questions like, well, you know, is there something of me in this caricature, in this sluggard? Is there something of me in that picture? So, let's have a look. Well, the sluggard spends as much time as possible in bed, doesn't he? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The snooze button is his friend. And then when he finally does get up, he can always think of, you know, an imaginative excuse of why not to go to work, or why, when he finally gets there, he's late. Have a look at chapter 26, verse 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. And then when he gets there, the sluggard's always ready to chat. He's ready to take the trip to the coffee machine. He's ready to listen to other people's problems. Anything except actually doing work. You know, when he sits down at his computer, eventually he's updating Facebook. When he gets home, he sits there in the armchair with the remote controls and the snacks around him. But even then, it all seems a bit of an effort. Proverbs 26:15, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but he's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. It's all very fun. It's very Homer Simpson or Peter Griffin or whoever your favourite sluggard of choice is. But the consequences are not funny, are they? You know, his slackness doesn't help his company a bit. Proverbs 18 verse 9, one who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. And it does nothing to endear him to his boss. Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. So when money gets tight, the sluggard's the first to go. The sluggard hopes his fantasies and money-making schemes will pay off, but sooner or later, grim reality catches up with him. Proverbs 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plough in season, so at harvest time he looks, but finds nothing. All he's left with is this horrible emptiness. Proverbs 13, 4. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Is there anything of you in the sluggard? What do you think? If there is, hear the warning. Laziness in the long run brings ruin. So, be diligent. Whatever work you have to do, do it carefully, patiently. Don't just be content with a botched job, do it properly. That's the wise and godly way. Couple of words to people in specific situations. Now, if you're someone who is unable to work, who is prevented from work, either because of health or age, or because even though you try, there's no work to be found at the moment, or you're unable to work because of nationality, residency issues, or something like that, well, please notice that the aim of this sermon is not to make you feel guilty because you don't have a job, okay? Applying this wisdom, it's going to look different in different situations. So make sure that, as much as you can, you are keeping active. You know, long periods of inactivity will harm us. So find what you can do to keep you doing things, to keep you serving others, to keep you meeting people and so on. Even if you're unable to do other things, make sure those things are going on. Also, there are plenty of things, aren't there, which may not count as employment in the way we normally talk about it, which are nonetheless work in God's eyes. Things like voluntary service, or being a full-time mum, or being a carer. Things like that. They're important roles in God's world. So do them with diligence. It's the message, isn't it? Don't be lazy. Be diligent. Something else related to this. What if you're currently in the position of relying on state benefits instead of working? Well, again, the same principle applies. Be diligent. Don't be lazy. It's okay to be on benefits. They're there to help people who can't get what they need from other means. You know, that's all right. So if you're in that position, you don't need to feel weighed down with guilt about it. But obviously, if you can get into work instead, then do that as soon as possible. You know, don't stay on benefits just because it's easier to stay on benefits. Do you see what I mean? Be diligent. Don't be lazy. That's the principle across the board. A couple of other things, though, to say about work, which are equally important. The next one's this. Keep work in its right place. Right, keep work in its right place. Work is valuable. It has great value given to it by God. But it's only a limited value. We will be harmed if we let work encroach on things that it shouldn't encroach on. If we let work become bigger than it should be. So, don't let work harm your godliness. Don't let work harm your godliness. What I mean by that is work must be principled, mustn't it? We mustn't let our jobs, or anything else we do, compromise our obedience to God. Because if we do, that will result in harm. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember that from last week. That's the rock under which everything stands. We mustn't let our work compromise our obedience to God. Proverbs 31 verse 11. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Or Proverbs 10 verse 2. Ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. Questionable business practices are out for the Christian. And dodgy deals, fiddling money out of the tax man, things like that. That's not where we're going to go. You know, getting money in ways like that will harm us in other ways. Similarly, well, we need to be aware of the people we're working for as well. You know, we might find out that our company is involved in sinful and dishonest practices. Well, if we find that out, we're going to have to think about that, aren't we? We need to think about our employers. We don't want to be adding our support to sin. Don't let your work harm your godliness. That's important. All right, another thing. Don't let your work take over your life. Your work can easily become all-consuming, can't it? It can take over our lives and squeeze out all sorts of other important things. It's not worth that much, says Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 4 to 5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. Work can bring us all sorts of good things, but not things that are so valuable that they're worth sacrificing everything else for. You know, there will be times when you need to have the wisdom to show restraint. You were made for work, yes, but that's not all you were made for. You need to know that other things have to take a higher priority. So if your work is preventing you from following Jesus like you should, or if your work is preventing you from looking after your family like you should, or if your work is preventing you from serving other Christians like you should, or if it's just exacting such a high toll on you that you know that burnout is around the corner, well, then you need to exercise restraint. Your work has become too big. It's not that important. In Japan, they have a word, karoshi, which means sudden death from overwork. Or in France, a couple of years ago, there was a controversy where 60 workers for France Telecom committed suicide over a 2.5-year period. And France Telecom's initial response was to say, well, actually, we're still below the national average for suicide of employees. What a tragedy. You know, and work should never be that important. Never be that big. One thing that can really help us to keep work in its right place is the Bible principle of Sabbath rest. Proverbs is written in the context of God's wider law to Israel, which had a lot to say about the Sabbath. And that pattern of one day's rest in seven, in which to refresh your relationship with God and with your family and with his family, well, that's built into God's creation. And following that pattern is an act of faith, isn't it? When we take a day away from work to devote to God, we're expressing our trust that God is in charge, not us, aren't we, when we do that? That's why it's so hard to do. You see, one of the big factors that cause people to overwork is the mistaken belief that everything would just stop without you. Do you know that? You find yourself thinking, oh, I can't take any time off, because if I did, it'd all fall apart. Again, if you think like that, then your view of your work has become too big. It would not all fall apart without you. God is in charge of keeping the world going, not you, not me. When you take your day off to devote to the Lord, you're acknowledging that fact. You're not the saviour of the world. The post of Messiah is already filled. It's God's job. So you need to act and think like you know that's true. So then, be diligent. Don't be lazy. Keep work in its right place. It must not compromise your godliness. It must not take over your life. Last thing to say is this. Remember what work can't give you. Work can get you riches. Work can get you riches, but it can't get you righteousness. And righteousness is infinitely more valuable. Proverbs 11 verse 4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness is right standing before God, isn't it? Righteousness is being on good terms with God. If someone is righteous, that means that God will accept them on the day he judges the world. The righteous are those people who God will welcome into his new creation forever. Only the righteous. So the point of this proverb is that wealth, which is good and helpful, will not do you any good at all on the day of judgment. It doesn't matter one little bit how wealthy you are then. The only thing that will make any difference at all is whether or not you are righteous. And here's the crucial thing. You cannot become righteous by working for it. You cannot. You can earn wealth by working diligently. You can't earn righteousness. Nothing you can do can make you right with God. Nothing. That's where our reading from Philippians comes in. You know, in that reading that we had before that Rebecca read to us, the Apostle Paul was considering all of his qualifications, which he'd earned through his previous career as a religious scholar, and he was weighing them up against the benefits of knowing Jesus. And the conclusion he came to is this, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but having that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. The righteousness that really counts. The only thing that will gain us acceptance from God is the righteousness that comes from God. And the only way we can receive that is through faith in Christ. God can make us righteous only because Jesus has died in our place to take our sin and evil upon himself. You know, the only reason we can be made righteous is that. Not because of something we can do, but because of something God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And righteousness like that, it's not something you can earn at all. It's a gift. It has to be received as a gift. With open hands, humbly, prayerfully. It's a gift from God. Work can't make you righteous. Leo Tolstoy was one of the greatest writers that ever lived. Now, unlike many artists, he achieved success in his own lifetime. His masterpiece, War and Peace, was widely acclaimed, sold a lot of copies. He became very wealthy. He was someone who worked hard and reaped all of the benefits that work could bring. And yet he found that there was one big nagging problem. He said this, what meaning has my life that the inevitability of death does not destroy? He realized the limits of work. He saw that it could not save him, that death would just wipe it away. In the end, he came to realize that the only answer to his greatest need was Jesus Christ. And at the end of his autobiography, he quotes Jesus. Jesus who said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Eternal life, lasting peace, forgiveness, salvation, Those are things we cannot get for ourselves, no matter how hard we work. We must be given them. And only Jesus can give them to us. So, work. Work is a gift from God. It's for our good. So do it diligently. Don't be lazy. But remember too that it has its limits. It must not compromise your godliness. It must not take over your life. And it cannot make you righteous. Only Jesus can do that. So whether at work or at rest, Jesus must come first, mustn't he? Why don't we pray? Let's pray. Our Father, we confess to you our own hearts. We know that our minds, our hearts have this habit, this tendency, that even though we hear your words of wisdom, we run off in the opposite direction. We follow a different path. Lord, we ask for your mercy for where we've done that. And we ask for your Spirit's power to change direction. Lord, please help us. Help us to take your words and apply them to our hearts, our minds, our living, our day to day. Please would you shape our work to be fruitful and lived out in the right fear of the Lord. Please would we work diligently, not be lazy. Help us where there's changes needed there. Lord, please would we not let work become too big to either compromise our godliness or take over our life. Please help us where there are changes that need to be made there. And Lord, please fuel all of that with a healthy dependence on Christ Jesus, the giver. Lord, please would we not confuse our efforts with your acceptance. Please would we trust ourselves to Jesus alone. Please enlarge our vision of how sufficient his work was, so that we might trust him completely. Lord, please, would you work in us so that we would work to your praise and glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.